Oh, hello, everyone. So today we have Caitlin from Oregon who's going to be sharing today with us on step nine. And Caitlin, you're okay to be recorded. Okay. All right. Take it away. Thank you.
Okay, step nine. Hi everyone. Most of you are new faces to me, so I'm happy to make new friends. My name's Caitlin. I'm a recovered alcoholic, addict, food compulsive eater, codependent, all the things, all the isms. I got them all. I can get addicted literally to bubbly water. So I love that this is an all addiction group. Step nine. So what I have done is I went through the reading this morning, and from pages 76 to 83, I just kind of highlighted some talking points on step nine. So I'll share my experience with the process and what hope it gave me and what great things changed after doing step nine. So starting on page 76, the second, no, excuse me, third paragraph down says, "Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead." Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a long list of persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make the amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. It's interesting, actually, just thinking about that as I read that. Doing the four step, you know how there's all in the rooms a lot of conversation and people expressing fear about doing step four because it's dredging up so much of the pain and the fears and the hatred and the trauma that we've gone through. But compared to me, from step four to nine, I had a way harder time being willing to do step nine. And I wonder, my mom always said when I was growing up, like, you can't ever apologize, can you? No, like I literally stole her car when I was 15 and she caught me. I got arrested at 2 in the morning and I'm mad at her for it. And she's like, "You can't just say sorry, like ever." And I think I've like come to understand with that when you are living with shame running through every single cell of your body, like I have since I was 4 years old. And then you have developed this huge narcissistic ego to cover up for the shame. It makes apologizing and amending for my behavior really challenging because the idea of admitting that something is wrong with me when I already feel like everything is wrong with me, that I don't even deserve to live on this planet. Like, confident people can apologize, healthy people can apologize. But for me, living in so much shame, admitting that something else was wrong with me was like death, on par with death. So I had to defend myself against admitting I was wrong ever. And so that made step four a lot easier for me, in that, especially the first column where we're like, the ego's raging in the seven areas of self, and we get to like really stick the finger to the person we're mad at before we flip the page and reflect. Oh, that was like fun. That part was really fun for me. Ego says yes to that. But then the amends process, oh gosh, when I got to this part of the book, really challenging to brace myself for, like, I can literally even feel the pit in my stomach right now of having to go before someone and humbly admit that I'm wrong. So that took a lot of God, and spiritual growth. So it says, "Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and to run the show ourselves." Yes, all the wreckage that we cause. If we haven't the will to do this, which was me, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. I didn't really know what I was agreeing to at that point, but I knew that I was a desperate person. And so when this time came, I had three major things. I had my dad, financial amends. What else did I have that was really blocking me? Oh gosh, definitely sexual stuff towards exes. But my sponsor, my first sponsor at the time, who was just coming in to BBA, so I did it the BBA way, kind of halfway my first time, and she just looks at me and she's like, she's all, honey, how free do you want to be? And it hit me, it really hit me, and I was like, I've always loved freedom. I mean, I've been the most rebellious, revolutionary, like, don't tell me what to do in school, always rebelling against my parents and teachers. And so when she said, I framed it like that for me, it was really helpful. And I was like, okay, I value freedom for sure. And I don't want to be controlled by anything. No people, no concepts or principles. I really don't want to be controlled. And so I don't want to be controlled by having this thorn still in my side. And she went on to say further too. She was like, you know, if you're well, I'll wait till I read about the financial part of this before I go there. Okay. So yeah, so that got me going. Like those two are one of those things she said about how free do you want to be. I was like, okay, I'm gonna start praying for the willingness. And even I've been through the steps many, many times. And even like I just went through the workshop with Michael K and Mike C, and I had an amends that was very personal. My business partner and I had had a falling out, and a lot of it was my fault. But I was so narcissistic. Even, you know, 7, 8 years into recovery, I was still so narcissistic towards this amends. And it's been 8 months, and I haven't been able to make it yet. And but I have prayed for willingness, and I have talked to my sponsor, and I did a four step on it. And I got ready when I went to make the amends or to write the amends to talk to my sponsor. My sponsor was like, you need to pray more because you are still subtly blaming this person for your problems or for your things you should take responsibility for. And I said, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, I totally see how I'm being cheeky and like trying to drive the knife in a little bit and not accept full responsibility. So 8 months later, and I've been praying for willingness, like, you know, once or twice a week, this will run through my mind, and I'm praying to God, like, please humble me and like, please heal my shame further. Yet I need more help with this because I can't bring myself to make this amends from a place of total humility without stabbing the knife yet. And I've just recently gotten to the point where I'm ready to fully not grovel, but on my knees with humility, approach this woman and admit my faults. But it took 6, 7, 8 months to be able to do it. So I guess that's a good point of not rushing too, is like if I had just you know, rushed into it, I probably would have done more harm than good. And I have done that with amends, where like a couple times I did say things that weren't totally pure and of God, and I felt the other person flinch a little bit when I made the amends. It was a genuine accident. There wasn't any like in malice in it, but I guess that's still something to be said for like really, you know, not rushing and moving slowly, but also not taking too long. I guess if we're just praying, God's gonna deliver us to that right moment if we're fully trusting. So okay. It says on the next page, I underlined, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So, I've come a long way with this. I'll talk about one thing my sponsor said with financial amends. I didn't want to really make financial amends. When I went through the steps, I was broke, barely had a working car, in total debt. My teeth were like falling out. I had to get them $40,000 to repair them. I mean, my mother was buying my food. It was, I'm sure, like most of us, rock bottom with poverty and money. And I could not fathom pulling up thousands and thousands of dollars to pay other people. And my sponsor said, I think maybe to motivate me a little bit, at the time, my sponsor had said, How do you expect to become financially self-sufficient and supporting if you have all this baggage of owing people money? Like the universe and God and the laws don't work like that. So clean it up so that you can receive. And that clicked, that really did click to me. And so the first time I went through, my motivation was, I'm doing this so that I can be self-supporting. I'm doing this to clear my karma for me. It's still kind of selfish, right? But I love how it says here, and over time I've come to understand the more my heart has been purified through this program and my intentions have been purified, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And so really, I'm not saying sorry for them. I'm not saying sorry for me. I'm saying sorry that so that I can be a clean vessel to truly know God and then to do God's work. And that was really helpful for me because I'm so selfish. I'll figure out when I sponsor people, it took me a long time to get my heart in the right place where I'm like, God, I don't want to meet with this person, but I'm doing it because I want to stay sober. It's still me, 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 me. And it's taken God a lot, lots of prayers with God. And I'm like, please make my heart light. Please make my heart light where I can find joy being of service to you. So now, like when we purify in these ways, I love that they touched on that. I didn't see this sentence like the first four times I read this book. It took, you know how things like pop out as you grow, you read things in a new way with the literature. Okay, so further down, I highlighted it may be that the person we're apologizing to has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude towards him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Okay, this is where my dad comes in. And then I switched over onto the next page too, where they talk a little bit about the unexpected happens in 9 cases out of 10, where the person we're apologizing to admits their own fault. And that was true for me, where most people did. And I went into the amends with my dad. I did him last. And I went into the amends with my dad thinking that, oh, do I have 3 minutes left on the 15 or 3 minutes left to till I hit done, done?
You have 8, 7 minutes now,
Okay.
7+ minutes.
Okay. Thank you. So I did my dad last. And I kind of expected that there would be this moment where he admitted all of his faults too. He died an alcoholic in a chair, like one of the horrible deaths that they talk about at Gates, what is jails, institutions, and death. I watched my dad live out the death part of alcoholism, but he had been in program, but he didn't get better. I found out he'd never actually done the steps. I didn't know that. So when I went to his house, oh, it was a horrible situation to watch. But and I did the amends. I was expecting that we would have this big celebratory moment and he would acknowledge and apologize and do ninth step to me too. But it didn't happen. He didn't admit any of his faults. And it talks about this further. I appreciate what they say on 83 about that. When he's talking about the family, and it says we ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects must be glaring, but the chances are their own action that my actions are partly responsible. So that was a huge bubble being burst because his defect was glaring to me. And I had to be really vigilant, and I did a good job when I was making the amends process. I did not criticize him. I kept it, like the book's saying here, I kept it to like my own defaults. There was a very like weird moment of this little girl inside of me that was totally let down at the end. I was crying, and I had been really truly poured my heart into this amends. And then afterwards, it was just kind of crickets. Like he was just sitting there smiling at me and just said, thank you. And there was no ability on his end to like admit, or I mean, this was, if I think about it now, it's like this grand moment where we could have healed the whole lineage that goes back, his father, we could have had this moment, and he just couldn't, and he wasn't able. And I left his house and I drove 2 hours home and I've cried harder than I have ever cried in my entire life. Like, I think purging that, oh, I feel emotional right now. That's strange. But purging that, but then also like really wrapping my head around, part of me wanted to judge him, like, what's wrong with you? How could you not meet me in this space here before you die? Like, you can't see your part in this? Like, are you crazy? And then the other part of me was like, how dare you condemn? He played out his role in my life perfectly to a T. He did not have an era of where it was cool to be in self-healing. And there's like everyone on Instagram is a healer of some sort making reels. Like, we live in a very different, I live in a different era where it's, there's a different consciousness in our generation, I guess, where healing is different. But if for him, he was taught just repression, repression. He's older. He's like, would have been like 90 something now. So like, how could I project and expect that onto him? And then it finally turned into compassion where, I felt for him. I'm like, I feel actually myself removed from this. I'm safe with God. I just feel deep compassion for you that you died without accepting these tools and like in that level of pain. Like, that is really hard. I grieve for you. I grieve for you now, but it took me a long time to get there. So, okay, let's see. There's another part in here. I've had one experience where, okay, so they talk about there may be some wrongs that we can never fully right. So I wonder about this, and I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on it. So I have one glaring circumstance, not to go into details because it's unnecessary, but a 10-second summary of it is that a college football game, someone had parked behind my car. My boyfriend and I wanted to go get alcohol. He was drunk and enraged that we couldn't go drive to get alcohol, and he took a bat to this person's vehicle, and I watched it, and it ended up being my roommate's best friend, and she hadn't told me that the car was parked behind me. So, that was humiliating and a horrible, horrible behavior. Even I was like complicit in it. I didn't actively hit the car, but my boyfriend, I certainly watched him like destroy a nice vehicle right before my eyes. And my roommate was humiliated admitting this to her friend. And I never, by the, that was so 20 years ago, I never have been able to find her information. She doesn't have Facebook or social media. Her number wasn't working. I reached out to one of her friends who didn't respond to me or even read the message. So I don't know how to make that right, but I was at least willing. But I've wondered, what are the implications of that? Oh, it actually just occurred to me, maybe paying that forward to somebody else would be a way to do it. Yeah, I'd be curious to hear what other people have done when they have things owed or amends made and they can't access the person, or if that's just God saying, it's okay, you can move on. Don't worry too much, just keep doing good deeds and like living righteously and all is well. Okay, so then to the promises. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see that our own experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We'll intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We'll suddenly realize that God is doing for ourselves what we could not do for ourselves. I have felt all of these promises come true as a result of doing the ninth step. And to the point now where even like I was just talking about last year, that really brutal amends, I still will def for anything I do wrong, I'll pray for the willingness to apologize and for God to soften my heart, because these promises are so beautiful compared to living how I've lived my whole life. This is, it's like literally going from heaven to hell. I won't say that I haven't slipped in to being like, I have had waves of economic insecurity. I have had a lot of waves of self-seeking after going through the ninth step. It doesn't, it's not like these, we live in this like perfect bubble afterwards. But in general, I have seen that our life is elevated to living with this in this kind of divine ease and grace that is articulated here on page 84. So, yeah, what a blessing. What an absolute blessing that we are gifted the opportunity and that our souls said yes to the opportunity. And also, thank you for the opportunity to share my experience with what turned out to be a big meeting, Lenny.